This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
2110. The bottom line is something's up.
Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the Founding Fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny.
1-1-0.
This was in a book for Freemasons. Fictions are necessary to the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportional to their imperfect reason.
Broadcasting live from a bunker high atop Mount Hood.
All heading towards a fascist totalitarian state.
It's radio that's delivering the truth.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
See, the problem is they don't get to determine what is right and wrong in the process. It's all done by the central government.
And here's Paul Preston and Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you the exceptional American? I suspect you are. So anyway, welcome aboard. A lot of things going on here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com. That's a21r.com. And also, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. We will become the 51st state in the union because we're doing it right, actually. We're doing it exactly right as people should be doing things. Okay, we got just an absolutely packed 2 hours remaining here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website and go to the podcast. You can pick up all these shows on podcast. On Agenda 21 Radio. We also want to remind you, you can go to the newcaliforniastate.com and order shirts and everything else with flags regarding New California. So we're going to be updating a few more products, actually, going on that website here in the next day or so. But we want to make sure that you are up to date and up to speed and have all of the products that you actually need from New California. Including flags. Finally got all the flags in. Wow. And are they beautiful? Beautiful, beautiful. New California State flags. We've been following this narco situation in Texas. We have four officers, apparently. Now, I'm getting mixed reports. It's four or five, whatever. Apparently, one of them has been released. But there's four hospitalized and two in very serious condition because they were narcotics officers, and the cartels run rampant throughout Texas, as they are running rampant throughout California, of course. And this is sort of the thing that's tipping the tide, if you will, down in Venezuela. So we're going to be talking about Venezuela, Mexico, Colombia, Central and South America, all of, and of course, how does it affect here in California? And how does people like Kamala Harris? Shocking. Jerry Brown. Let's just name the usual suspects: Gavin Newsom, Nancy Pelosi, even Dianne Feinstein. They're all from the Bay. It's amazing. Willie Brown, Die Schlickmeister, Willie Brown. It's amazing how these people are all from the Bay Area. They all know each other really, really well. Anyway, but with us right now is John Martinez to sort of enlighten us on what is going on with this cast of characters. I mean, it's really a cast of characters. It's just, well, and then there's big oil companies involved, too, and we're going to talk about that. So, John, welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio.
Good morning, Paul, and thanks for having me on this morning.
So, the plot is thickening. You know, on the Sunday Dave Janda show, I was telling everybody that there's open season right now with targets on their back for police officers. And sure enough, of course, I was referring back to the Natalie Corona shooting incident in Davis, California, and also, of course, Ranel Singh, of which we went to his funeral. A lot of us from New California went to his funeral in honor of him. And it was very apparent in talking to some of the police officers that were there in the funeral entourage on Friday, that Friday of Ranel Singh, that they were very much feeling that the heat from the standpoint that they feel like they're being hunted. And so I brought that to everybody's attention, not to everybody, but at least on the Dave Janda show the other day. And lo and behold, that's exactly what they're saying now in Houston, that there's targets on the backs of these officers. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's a surface issue with the police being the target. The actual target is stability and domestic tranquility in the country, and they want to divide the police against the people and create more of a police state. And that would bring us back to Kamala Harris, Willie Brown, Nancy Pelosi, and that cast of characters out of San Francisco that come from a quite the corrupt political dynasty. And so you can start and look at and analyze the police officers with a target on their back at kind of as the end game, where they're going with destabilizing the country and creating a weakened domestic situation. But you really got to go back to, you know, we've talked before about Venezuela and the connection between Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, now Maduro, to radical movements, drug trade movements, and of course Bill Ayers, of course, allegedly was involved in the murder of a police officer in the 1970s in San Francisco. Going back to San Francisco again, and police officers. So this is not a new phenomenon. The left, every time they feel threatened or they feel that they can grab power, you begin to see violence against police officers. Do you not?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is exactly what you see. So tell us, one of the things, and I forgot to mention the other very usual suspect of Bill Ayers and Bernardine Dorn and their relationship to all of what's going on. Because remember, they're San Francisco treats as well.
Correct. And their goal was to kill cops and to foment rebellion in the streets of the United States. And I believe if you take a look at Kamala Harris now, who is going to, and this may be off topic of Venezuela and Mexico, who is going to be the next candidate perhaps for the Democrat Party, you have a person there who absolutely hates Western European economic infrastructure. She hates law and order. She was, and just to back up, she was the district attorney of San Francisco, the county of San Francisco, and during her tenure as the DA, corruption just didn't flourish. It consolidated, and the city itself descended into like a hellhole. Drugs, just rampant crime on the streets. You can't even park on the street because she refused to work with the police officers. In fact, there was a police officer that was blatantly murdered. I mean, just absolutely murdered because he was a cop. And she refused to go after the death penalty. She actually felt sorry for the guy who killed the cop. And when you start to take a look at where the Democrat Party is moving, if they do gain power, Katie bar the door, because combined with that, now you have Venezuela. Now, we talked about Venezuela months ago and the potential for social catastrophe there, and it's happening right now. In fact, I was reading an article from a Mexican newspaper, and they were quoting people from Venezuela, and they're talking about people losing their life over a pound and a half, 2 pounds of rice. That's how dire the situation is there. And now Colombia apparently is getting ready for what might be a mass migration out of Venezuela along their border. So this thing is really starting to heat up. These folks now are beginning to decentralize Central America. Mexico is strengthening its southern border because they see what's happening. Well, we're not doing anything for our border. Mexico is strengthening their border, putting troops and National Guard, if you will, down along that border to protect from more migrants coming in. At the same time, they have migrants coming up in the caravan. As you know, I think it's 11,000 was the latest figure that I read.
15,000. 15,000, my people are saying.
15,000.
Right.
Probably right on the money. And so what's happening in Mexico is Mexico is weakened. I mean, regardless of what's happening in Venezuela, Mexico's economy is weak. We have a new leader in Mexico. He's a nationalist leader. He's a leftist, but he's a nationalist as well. And Mexico, their economy is weakened. They're having gas shortages all over the country. People are very, very discontent, having high discontentment with the government. As things become more and more unstable in Mexico, and these caravans continue to push through Mexico, they will further destabilize Mexico up to the point, perhaps, that Mexico calls in the UN and says, hey, look, we need to have migrant camps. As you've seen in Africa and elsewhere along the U.S. border, where these people will then begin to pool up. And without a fence system or a wall or whatever you want to call it, those people will begin to push harder and harder into the United States. It'll be a vacuum and incentive for people to continue to come up without a wall. And if the Democrats gain power and you have 500,000 people waiting on the other side of the border, you can bet they're going to help the UN out by bringing those folks into the United States.
Well, it's also an entree for the UN to get. It's also an entree for the UN to settle into a new world country such as Mexico.
Well, yes, and have jurisdiction along our border, and that's the goal, I think, of the Democrats, is to create this open door for people to come in, because the Dems, and it's like a democratic deep state collective, if you will, and they're using Mexico to fill the United States with drugs, increased child sex trafficking, which the Democrats apparently are very good at, and creating the vassals of the Democratic machine, the voting machine, so they can take over the local, state, and federal elections. We're worried about federal elections and state elections in the United States and California, but we really need to start to take a look at the dynamics that are happening right now in local politics, especially in the Central Valley of California. I mean, people who are not from this country, who do not believe in this country, that don't care about the Constitution or the institutions that made us wealthy, are beginning now to take over elections in the Central Valley. And, of course, as you know, down in Orange County, you have real big problems down there with the last election.
Right, right. And, of course, there are big problems out of Chapman University, which has basically become a communist cell with the bringing
sure.
in. Go ahead.
Well, sure, and you have China that's invested heavily in Venezuela. They're going to lose their investment, and that probably isn't as important to China as losing their toehold into South America. They have the Panama Canal, but to get Venezuela and to take that oil was a big, big structural part of their desire to have dominance over the southern cone of the United States. You've got Russia in there, Cuba, you have Iran. Iran is running agents up through Mexico with some of these caravans. And so it's just a complete mess. And as this mess continues to grow and the Democrats dig in and say, we're not going to have a wall, we're not going to do it, we need to accept these people, they're flooding our country with very dangerous people, and we don't have the money, neither does Mexico, to support these populations.
So the powder keg, as you have said before, is going to obviously be Mexico.
Yeah, you blow Mexico, and it's like a dam. Imagine it's a dam, and we're in the lowlands, and they're just going to flood the lowlands and create a swamp. I mean, the Democrats would prefer to hold on to power and rule over complete chaos and pandemonium versus having a more, I don't know what the term would be, an egalitarian horizontally integrated political structure where they give away their power and the people live better. They don't care about us. For example, if Kamala Harris, for example, doesn't care enough about her own self to provide her her body, if you will, sexually to Willie Brown in order to promote her own career, do you think she really cares about us and our bodies and how we do? I mean, in other words, would she sacrifice us like she sacrificed her body for a political gain? And I'd have to say yes, and I think the Democrats are all in that same type of philosophy.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand, is that it was Willie Brown that she had been having an affair with for quite a while, and it was pretty much political expedience on her part to be doing what she's doing.
I didn't explain that. I just assumed the listenership would understand it. Kamala Harris, I believe, was an extramarital affair with Willie Brown, and what appeared to be a quid pro quo to help her to elevate her career. So here is a woman who talks about women's rights and all these other rights, yet she was willing to participate in sex trafficking of her own self in order to expedite her career. Now, if you take a look at Kamala Harris, and you look at what she did when she was a DA, what she didn't do is more important, and that is to go after sex trafficking, drug trafficking, influence trafficking in San Francisco while she was the DA. It all was swept under the carpet. She let the city go into ruins, and I believe she did that because there are a lot of Democrats involved in sex trafficking, drug trafficking, and influence trafficking. And, you know, another, we talked about Pelosi before and her connections with San Francisco and drug, and then bring that back to drug trafficking in Mexico. You know, Pelosi's father was an intelligence operative who worked with Lucky Luciano, who was, I guess it was Cosa Nostra, the Italian mob. And after World War II, Luciano went back to Sicily and began to import heroin into the United States. Most significantly into the city of Baltimore, which at that time the governor was Nancy Pelosi's father. He was so corrupt, in fact, that the FBI did an investigation on what appears to have been narcotics trafficking, influence trafficking, and perhaps even child sex trafficking. But that is not totally clear, but he was definitely investigated. And Nancy Pelosi, if people think she's this wonderful lady, think about this coincidence. In Hayward in 1991, she allegedly was, or it wasn't allegedly, it's documented, that she was part of an investment group that owned a warehouse in Hayward, California in 1991. And the DEA busted that warehouse for storing China White heroin, high-grade Chinese heroin. And the estimated value of that heroin was above $2.5 billion. Brought through the port of Oakland into Hayward, which is the Bay Area where, you know, the Democrats are really strong. Does that sound off any alarm bells to anybody?
You think?
You know.
And that was in 91.
Pardon me?
That was in 1991.
Correct. I think you could probably Google it and find it. So you have Nancy Pelosi, you have Willie Brown. Willie Brown, of course, I mean, if you go into Google and punch up Willie Brown corruption, you can spend days on end reading and never get to the end of it. You know, you can look at Kamala Harris and how she's tied in. You can look at the former governor, Jerry Brown. In fact, his father, Pat Brown, was the governor of California as well. He got his start in San Francisco as a district attorney. And it is well documented and well known that the person who got Jerry Brown's father the DA job, the district attorney's job, was a guy by the name of Sidney Korshak. Now, Sidney Korshak was the fix-it man for the Cosa Nostra, the mob, and at one time was considered more powerful than the president himself, and the CIA, he was hands-off, let's put it that way. And so you have the mob operating in and around San Francisco going all the way back to the times of the Bank of Italy when they were laundering massive amounts, creating infrastructure, the financial infrastructure, if you will, during Prohibition. And I believe from there they moved into heroin with Lucky Luciano and Nancy Pelosi's father. So this is just an ongoing criminal syndicate that's been going on for generations, and they don't plan on relinquishing power anytime. And they want to see these drugs come up through Mexico to fund their system. This is not just some fly-by-night operation. It's been going on for generations.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense when you start to look at the cast of characters. You brought out the Edmund G. Brown, or Pat Brown, Jerry Brown's dad. He was the district attorney of San Francisco. And then I'm not too sure about Jerry Brown. I know he became the district attorney or the attorney general of California before the third and fourth term of him becoming governor.
He was also Secretary of State.
Right. So he's kind of been, he knows the executive branches of California's governance, of course.
Well, now, we know that they're running drugs. I mean, it's just too obvious. You got child sex trafficking everywhere. You have influence peddling, influence trafficking, whatever you want to call it. But the real big fix, the real big deal for them is to control the water in California. Now, the California Aqueduct, I believe, is named after Pat Brown, right? It's the Pat Brown California Aqueduct, which is interesting because when Jerry Brown, the son, was the Secretary of State, and now my dates may be a little off, but I'm pretty certain of this. I was doing an investigative piece with a small newspaper called the Pioneer Press with my publisher at that time, Daniel Webster, and we were looking into this huge water deal that people were telling us about. It was a massive water deal that was to take place in the 1960s called Calamigos. Now, in the middle of this group were people that were closely associated at that time in the 1960s with Sid Korshak. And Sidney, of course, as I mentioned earlier, was a big fix-it man for the mafia. And Dan sent me, the publisher Webster sent me down to Sacramento and said, hey, look, let's go to the Secretary of State and let's pull the corporate records of this group called Calamigos. They were going to dam Scott Valley, which is a valley up north. And they were going to dam it, and they were doing all kinds of funny business. So we were trying to find out, okay, let's take a look at who was on the board of directors. You know, you have to have that in the state of California. And the reason we wanted to know is because there was a guy by the name of Albert Newton, who in Siskiyou County was the district attorney, and we understand may have been very closely associated with Pat Brown and Jerry Brown. And so we thought, man, this corruption, is the corruption locally, does it go that high up the food chain? Because we were also investigating narcotics trafficking and found some linkages that were very interesting involving some of the people that we've spoken about today as well as in the past on this show. So anyway, so I go down to the Secretary of State's office, and I said, I would like to have these records. And Leigh says, sure. So she comes out, and she's somewhat sheepish, and she says, I can't explain it, but I know this was filed, but the papers are missing. I said, what do you mean the papers are missing? Well, there are no names. We just know that it was filed by people in Century City down in Los Angeles somewhere. And I said, well, I said, who could pull those papers out?
Hey, John, said, oh, John, hold on. John, hold on. John, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. We got a break coming up. We'll be right back.
Certainly.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 and use the promo code AGENDA.
800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us if you want Viagra at the lowest prices. Never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-362-3023 today to save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-362-3023 to take your call now. Call 800-362-3023. That's 800-362-3023. Again, 800-362-3023. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-319-2547 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-319-2547. Again, that's 800-319-2547.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, plaster gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Calusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Deep in a bunker, way behind enemy lines, broadcasting the truth about what's really going on. Agenda 21 Radio.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com. That seems to be the easiest way to get there. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We're going to be talking quite a bit at the end of this interview in the third hour about New California and all the things that are going on there and other things, including more about Venezuela because there's some things happening. But the big news, of course, is what we're discovering about the San Francisco connection to a lot of different things nefarious. And John Martinez is with us, and I do want to make the statement that by the way, the information that we're discussing here on this hour with John and with the other, this is all stuff that's pretty much standard information, minus a few details that we're bringing forward. But and again, you have to go out and search for it, but it's there about Nancy Pelosi and her family connections and ties to the Browns and all that. It's all right there, and it has been. People have been talking about this for years. It's really kind of nothing new, except for that we're now into 2018. We have an election coming up, and everybody's kind of grown up. They've got their big boy pants and panties on, and Kamala Harris has decided that she's going to run for president. And she's sort of the chosen one from the Golden State, if you will. And then Gavin Newsom just you know, who happens to be a relationship there too. Willie Brown, all these people are all connected to San Francisco Bay Area and the things that are going on there. So this is a lot of it is just connect the dots, and dots have already been connected before. People have discussed these things, but now it's in a little bit different light, especially in view of what's going on in Venezuela. And with us is John Martinez to kind of give us this overview of what's going on with the Browns and everybody. And you were talking at the end of the break there, as we were getting into the break, last segment, that the Brown family is pretty much a dominating family. Now you got Kamala Harris, you got Willie Brown, not related to the Browns, but Willie Brown, who is the Speaker of the House, of the Assembly, for years. In fact, he's the guy who prompted term limits in 1990, which is also a very curious time, because in 1990, when they did that, they also opened the door for Jerry Brown in that same term limit proposition that was run against on the Constitution in California to have entree to a third and fourth term as governor, which he did in 2010. So it's all, you know, when you start to look at it, it looks quite nefarious from the outside. Your comments?
Well, it certainly does look nefarious, and following this for years and being on the ground in Siskiyou County looking at the water and the drug-related corruption, it appears that the same players are involved and intertwined in this entire thing. Like, for example, this Calamigos thing. How and who, like the lady said, well, that can't happen. Somebody just can't come in here and take those documents. And I said, but who could do it? Could it have been the Browns or their relationship? Because, see, right now what's happening in Siskiyou County and the rest of Northern California is there's a huge, I believe, a conspiracy to take away people's water rights. I mean, you have this going on in Siskiyou County on with adjudicated water rights on ditches, which is a whole other show. You have Doug LaMalfa, who is a congressman, very closely associated with Kevin McCarthy, who's the Speaker of the House, who's controlled by money-wise, controlled by Goldman Sachs. LaMalfa's largest contributor is the Angelo Jacopoulos dynasty, known as AKT, Angelo Jacopoulos Development. And Angelo Jacopoulos, as I've mentioned in previous shows, is closely tied to the Clintons and the Obamas through campaign raising and all these types of things. And Willie Brown actually made millions of dollars, from what I understand, and you can go Google that too, doing business deals with Angelo Jacopoulos, making sure that the state of California and the feds looked the other way or changed their minds and made other determinations on land development. So if you start to take a look at Willie Brown and Kamala Harris and all these different people, this is a political dynasty, a very tight-knit political dynasty that is controlling everything in the state of California. It is time for a new state. But that's, I guess, coming up in your third hour. But you were talking about Willie Brown, and you were talking about term limits. Well, people were very upset with Willie Brown, very upset with, you know, the folks on both sides of the aisle never leaving office so they could maintain political dominance and continuity of corruption over time within the halls of the Assembly and the Senate. But when people got so upset, they finally recalibrated their math, if you will, and said, you know what, we need to bring other faces in, such as Kamala Harris, to make sure that we're able to keep this lock over time on this corruption. And so all they basically did is reformulated the facade, if you will, the veneer of this political machine by putting up folks like I can't remember the guy's name. Who's the current AG? I mean, these new faces,
right?
They keep putting forward and still controlled by the same political dynasty.
Javier Becerra and Alex Padilla.
Javier Becerra.
Padilla. Yeah, Padilla is
these,
the second.
These are people that are just
Right. Let me finish. Javier Becerra is the Attorney General currently of California, and he was also a member of Congress who's highly implicated in the basically the espionage ring that was established during the during his tenure, and as he just left when Kamala Harris became a senator, taking Barbara Boxer's place. It was Javier Becerra who came in and descended as the Attorney General appointed by Jerry Brown. Then you have Alex Padilla, who's in deep trouble right now in California. Javier Becerra is in serious trouble because of this whole Spygate thing that was going on over there in the House of Representatives. And so he's being actively investigated. We know that. And then there's Alex Padilla, who's now, we're understanding, being investigated by the feds for the voter fraud that's going on in California, the big-time voter fraud. So that sets the stage for these two guys that you say are basically people of a different generation but of the same cloth.
Yes, and that is, I hadn't thought about that. And so I look at Nancy Pelosi and she's playing with her hair and she's going on and she can't remember things and she looks flustered when she should look like a person who's winning everything.
Yeah.
Maybe she's worried about her connections to all these things being exposed by the feds.
Well, if I was her, and we now have the technology and. And again, everybody might say, well, Agenda 21, you're breaking great news and everything, and we think we are, don't get me wrong, but this shows you, John, really how the mainstream media just has continued to ignore everything, because the information we're bringing is public knowledge. It's not that far to get it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for example, Bill Ayers being tied to Chavez, and Bill Ayers being tied to the Salmon River marijuana trade through major environmentalists who may have hit him from the FBI during the 1970s after the police officer was murdered in San Francisco, California. So, yeah, it all begins to tie together. It looks like San Francisco. And here's the other thing. Let me just put this out there. I get so tired, and this is kind of ad-libbing here, but I get so tired of hearing Kamala Harris and her ilk talk about how evil, mainstream America is, how, look at our communities, how what they've done to our communities. Why didn't she do anything when she was the DA in San Francisco?
Exactly.
With all of the marijuana and heroin coming out of Siskiyou County in Northern California into those minority communities, why didn't she do anything about it? Why didn't she go after the traffickers? Because I'll tell you why. Because Willie Brown was too close to a guy by the name of Charlie Byrd, who is the sheriff of Siskiyou County, who died under mysterious circumstances, in my opinion.
Well, the relationship with all these people, and again, it's the usual suspects that are coming right out of San Francisco. And, we haven't forgotten Gavin Newsom, who's an integral part of all this as well. We're going to be...
I'm sure you got small-time newspaper guys and bloggers and stuff listening to this program. Let me tell you something. I know without any shadow of a doubt that the newspaper I used to work for, the Pioneer Press, was targeted by major business interests in San Francisco for it going after the drug trade and the water heist that's coming to Northern California. And if they can go after a small adjudicated newspaper and a publisher and his family, nobody's safe. And I mean nobody. Not you, not me, nobody.
Yeah. The thing is that, when these things start to unravel, and they will, for all these people, it's just like a big open sore. I think one of the things, and I'm going to use Jerry Brown's words, because Jerry Brown, in the final month of his, November, December of last year, he said that, he thought that they had pushed it a little too far this time in his term, meaning this whole collective of people, the gaggle of people that have emanated from San Francisco that we're talking about right now, their agenda has gone too far afield. There's too much of an extreme that has developed, especially with all the overkill of laws and regulations in California and literally pushing out the middle class. So people are starting to really look into these folks in a much different way with a much different lens, and the tools now are just much more accessible to see them. So it's this is all going to start coming out in the weeks and months ahead, and I think that it's their own undoing, so to speak.
Well, let's hope that they don't shut down the internet and try to further prohibit free speech from taking place. Because that's happening right now. You can take a look at what's happening to, whether it be the InfoWars Alex Jones program or various other hosts who have an alternative interpretation of events, if you will, of being targeted. And it's nothing new, who knows what's going to happen. I just know that Venezuela's a problem. Now you have Iran and Israel getting into it, and a very good source of mine, a very well-placed source, Israeli source, tells me look out towards the end of March, beginning of April, for the Israelis to strike. So if that happens, and we do have Hezbollah operating along the border with Mexican cartels and Los Zetas, and we don't have a border wall, and we're not thoroughly vetting people coming into this country and not looking actively for cells that are in this country, watch for interesting things to happen towards the end of March, beginning of April.
Well, one of the things, I want to get back to Nancy Pelosi and her mannerisms and stuff. There is a woman who is absolutely conflicted, in my opinion. And you listen to her talk, her nervousness. And then she's trying to go after Trump, making accusations about him and stuff. This is all really, when you just take a look at her, what she's doing, she must be incredibly stressed by all the lies she has to tell all the time.
Well, I've heard an interesting story from a guy who's pretty well informed, let's say, that actually what's happening is Nancy Pelosi knows the axe is going to fall, and she's playing a game to let this thing play out, and she's perhaps hoping to get some leniency, but who knows? I mean, she just may be a nut job too, right?
Well, I think that I'm going to go with the other one because I'm hearing the same sort of things, and but to add to that, what we're hearing about is that it's just buying time. If they can just buy one day, 1 hour, a week, and of course now President Trump's going to be speaking to the nation apparently in 1 week. What's going to happen between now and then to try and cover up their story so that, Trump doesn't come out with something? I got news. Trump knows this stuff. He knows what's going on. I mean, this isn't new to him. So, she's concerned that basically there's going to be an unveiling. The veil is going to come off. And I think that's exactly what she's concerned with. And I think that that's a very dangerous territory for her to be in right now.
Well, you can't simply take generations of corruption, narcotics-related corruption, child abductions, sexual trafficking, human sacrifice, all of it, and sweep it under the carpet. Because when you sweep it under the carpet after a period of time, it's like putting a baby diaper for you that are out there that have had babies. You stick a dirty diaper and you forget it in the garbage for 3 days.
Yeah.
You wish you hadn't done it. And that's what's happening right now. This what they've swept under the carpet starting to stink so bad, nobody can get around it.
I think that's just a great...
And the genie's not going in the bottle. We're talking about this right now. We wouldn't have this conversation 20 years ago. We're having it right now. And it's a mainstream conversation about the ties between the radical left, the environmental agenda, the anti-gun agenda, and a political aristocracy that hands the crown from one person to the next person to the next person within their own tight-knit group to control the lock over corruption and satanic practice, whatever they're into. I mean, this is happening, and people who used to look at me when I said, hey, look, there's corruption involved in the drug trade in Northern California, used to look at me and think, man, this guy's lost his mind. He's not well. Now they're coming to me going, you can't believe what I know now.
Yeah.
This stuff's crazy.
Yeah, see, that's
what they're telling me is I would have thought was crazy 10 years ago.
Yeah, you see, this is what I was alluding to earlier, that the conversation that we're having really is something that a lot of people have been conversing with over the years. And, you know, I get this all the time, too, that, you know, stuff I was saying 11 years ago about Agenda 21 and all these plans. You know, I get calls daily for people asking questions about this, asking to be called back, and text messages, can you do this, can you do that, let us know about. So, you know, this critical mass of information is basically the diaper that stinks for 3 days. That is what is people are understanding. They can't escape it. That's their problem. And they think they can. And see, this is the thing. They think they can contaminate the internet. They think they can contaminate talk radio, as an example. None of that's going to work. It's out. The genie is well out of the bottle, and they will not be able to put it back.
Correct. And you know, for example, in Siskiyou County, allegedly there was a ranch, and there are a lot of people who have, kids, women, girls, who have been abducted in the area, a few in Siskiyou County, but have never been found. And it is alleged that major politicians, somebody who we named on this show today, had visited that ranch, as well as other people within that political dynasty, over the years since the 1950s, and have engaged in illegal acts with children. And that is how a mafia just below the surface is able to control these politicians. Now, if I had said that 10 years ago, you would have said, hey, John, you know what, we need to get you some help. But now you would probably say, well, yeah, what's happening in Hollywood, right? I mean, it's happening. We know it's happening.
Right.
It's out in the open now. So this isn't just happening back in D.C. It's happening at the State House. It's happening at the local level. The corruption has become like a franchise. You can't have local corruption in a small county in Northern California where cops are executing people because they want to clean up their drug act. They're tired of dealing drugs and warehousing drugs. You can't have that type of corruption happening if the state is not allowing that corruption to happen, and then if the feds aren't allowing the state to have that type of corruption. This is a vertically integrated program to completely destroy this country, this republic, and corruption is the means by which they're doing it. And the drug trade, frankly, is a parallel state within a state. And Nancy Pelosi and all these folks seem to be swirling around in this orbit of major narcotics trafficking interests. And, you know, maybe she's just a complete idiot and doesn't understand what's in her orbit, or she's a part of this and she knows it, and that is why she's, you know, having these crazy gestures on TV when she should be looking like the most prominent woman in American politics.
Well, you know, it's interesting how we have San Francisco influence now in Washington, D.C., in the form of Nancy Pelosi, and, of course, influence in the great state of California in Sacramento through Gavin Newsom. And then there's the Senator, Kamala Harris. And then there's Dianne Feinstein. We haven't talked about her, who's tangential to a lot of this, but she's there. But, you know, again, San Francisco having such a reach across the nation from, you know, literally a third person from the White House to a senator to two senators to the governorship. I mean, it's just a coast-to-coast cabal, if you will, of the people that come from the same proximate area, about 20, 30, 40 miles within each other's a sphere of influence.
Well, I'll never forget 1993 when the former mayor of the state capital of Mexico told me that Dianne Feinstein was a muy amiga de Mexico. Muy, muy amiga. She was a very, very, very big friend of Mexico. And I never really impressed me much, you know, until I began to understand this other picture up here and begin to understand, oh my gosh, what does he mean by she's a friend of Mexico? Like, I mean, you know, what is this corrupt individual talking about? And now it all starts to make sense that it's part of this larger network of corruption, this global empire, this spider web of corruption. And I think the American people have had enough. And I really hope for not their sakes, but for our sake, the good people in this country, that they relinquish this control. Because if they don't, it'll get nasty.
Well, you know, and they're setting the stage because of all the not only the narcotics are bringing in, but, you know, the hunting season that's now been declared, I think, on police officers. And, of course, that's the first part in which they're going to try and destabilize, the United States, is the local police officers and knocking them off and creating the fear, which I don't think is going to happen. I don't think that's going to happen really with our police departments throughout the United States, or sheriffs for the most part. You have a lot of really outstanding sheriffs throughout the nation. Now, I know that the ones that are corrupt, and they pretty much stick themselves, their thumbs are stuck out there. I think everybody starts to see them. Yeah. But the reality check, they're trying very hard to destabilize our own country, one with the invasion, two with the drugs and the cartels, the sex trafficking, all that stuff is intended to destabilize and bring our country down.
Well, something that really, at some point, I'd really like to get into is what's happening along the border with Rosetas, which was they call it a cartel, but really it's more of a military wing of the cartels, doing business with the cartels, and it was established by a former Mexican, now deceased, special forces officer, and now what's happened, according to a Breitbart article that just came out last week, and something I had alerted law enforcement to back in 2015, is the real possibility that a group like Nueva Generación of Jalisco, which is a very ideologically imbued and has linkages or had linkages with training and logistics with the FARC guerrillas out of Colombia, you have this military wing represented by the Zetas, highly sophisticated, and they have relationships with gangs in the United States. And then you have this group out of Jalisco, they call it a new generation of Jalisco, the rough translation. And this group is the ideological formation. Are you there, Paul?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead. We got about 15 seconds to wrap it up.
Ideological formation. So when you have a movement, it's not just enough to have a profit motive to extend yourself over territory and bring people together and hold people together. You have to have an ideological component that people buy into and adhere to, and it's part of their operating framework, their psychology. And this new generation, I believe, is beginning to become anti-state, anti-American, and with the Zetas providing the military backbone, we have something along the border. You talk about destabilizing the country. These people have the reach, the know-how, and the personnel in place right now to start taking down cops, DAs, judges, anybody they want in the country that doesn't have really good Secret Service protection. So this is starting to happen. They're growing. The border region is becoming more and more ungovernable.
You got about 15 seconds, John, to close it out.
Anyway, the point is that we need to clean up the corruption in this country, and it has to be done quickly. And unfortunately, the only agency, if you will, that's left is probably the Marine Corps.
Yeah. Well, listen, John, thanks for being with us. We're definitely going to have you back on real soon here on Agenda 21 Radio. And thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, that was John Martinez with us here on Agenda 21 Radio. We're going to wrap it up here in the second hour and come back in the third hour and talk a little bit about New California and all the things that you might want to delve into with New California State. And remember to go to the website, and you can go to the store and purchase your gear, if you will, from New California, especially the flags. Flags are going really, really, really strong. So I wonder why. and I wonder why. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. And remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.